Well, listen, I feel pretty good. How do you feel?
I feel all right. I want to congratulate you. You did a mighty wonderful job, and I'm mighty proud of you.
Well, thank you very much. They were really pleased with themselves over there. The leadership was Hale Boggs and the rest of them. They knocked their blocks off.
Yeah,
and they worked hard, but they nearly got caught with their pants down, too.
Yeah, they sure, they had lots of problems. But I hope that we got the worst of them behind us now, and you ought to be thinking who you're going to get in with that signing, and let's get the leaders all over the country.
Yeah, okay. Incidentally, there are about 20 or 30 businessmen coming in tomorrow who've been working with us on this program, and they're the guys that are going to practically guarantee jobs to the successful graduates of the Job Corps. It occurred to me that there might be a damn good picture and a very good group on Monday afternoon if you had 5 minutes
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, I'll do it. Tell Bill or Jack set it up.
All right. Did you get my memorandum about Maurice Mitchell? He's the guy that works for President Encyclopedia.
Yeah, Maurice. Yeah. I got it. I've got it here with me. They told me about it over the phone. I want to talk to you and I get back there about it. I think that we ought to move pretty quick on getting the best, very best people we can have. He's got wonderful qualifications. I don't know whether you want him on a Job Corps thing, though. It looks like to me he's got better qualifications for top administrative, maybe deputy or something of that field.
Well, there's no question. To tell you the truth, I think he could run it.
I run a lot of these programs, and I sure think you're going to have somebody know something about projects and engineering and general construction and things of that type in this field. Our program that I have run was always most successful because I got a boy in West Point who had a social consciousness like you and Bob McNamara, and same time had real tough practical work experience.
Well, now we have a fellow like that named John Cawley. He's a lieutenant colonel, and he's come over from the Defense Department. He's damn good, and he's been working with this fellow, Vern Alden, the President of the University of Ohio, and getting this Job Corps organized. He's terrific, this colonel is.
Yeah.
But I think of Mitchell, you see, as a guy who will give this thing not only the leadership it needs from an educational point of view, but he's a terrific spokesman.
That's good. Well, that's where he ought to be, I think, in the public relations and administrative field. You send him in to some state like Minnesota, and they say he's the head of the Job Corps, and they say, okay, how many parks did he ever build? What does he know about this field? And they say, well, he's an encyclopedia Britannica man. I just try to get the man with some good practical engineering and construction and work experience behind him to direct these work projects. What I had a big flop of it the first 6 months I operated when I had a similar experience. And I wound up having the lowest administrative cost, the most people working, the finest, most enduring projects. The difference was, one of them was a professor that I started out with, and I had to get rid of him. He's good public relations, and he was a good professor, but I had to bring in a West Point engineer to get him administered. And I just want to give you, just want you to take a little look at it from that angle. We build stuff that's enduring here. We got dormitories all over the state. We got roadside parks, 400 of them, where you can take your kids and eat and rest during your trip across the state and things of that kind, because we had a practical guy that went in and made the state highway department furnish all the foremen who have 30, 40 years of good job experience behind them in every county in the state. They've got the best modern equipment, not only heavy equipment and machinery, but the best trucks to haul them in. All we did was pay the salary, and we made them supervise them and made them furnish the equipment and made them furnish the materials. And every dollar we spent went to the boy. And as a consequence, they sent 32 state administrators from other states to come look at what we've done here. And I would say that 95% of it was having a real practical engineer that had some social consciousness, and they don't usually go together, and my supporting him to the hilt.
Yes, uh-huh.
So I think this fellow's got unusual experience. I've got no influence. Bill Benton couldn't call him because he wants to be ambassador to St. James and every other damn thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he would as a stand-in for you, or as a fellow that would get to sell a program to the country, a thing like that, I think it would be real, real good. But we'll talk about that when I get back. I didn't want Sunday to go by without your knowing what a terrific job this is. And I know that we all got to work to death and upset every night, but the proof of the pudding's in the eating. And when you get 40 vote margin, why, that's it, and you'd have been ruined, and I would have too if it had been 40 the other way.
Well, there's no question about it, but I'll say this, although we did a hell of a job with the Peace Corps without the tremendous assistance from the White House, this thing couldn't have got through without you being on top of it. You know that, I'm sure. But a lot of those calls from you over there were the ones that turned the tide. I'll say John McCormick really worked hard for us.
Sure did. He did a wonderful job, and you ought to thank him.
Yes, I've already talked to all those men over there, and the Republicans were really gutty. There's some fellas over there that are really worthwhile paying some attention to, like this guy Tupper from up in Maine. Congressman, he's young, but he's a hell of a guy, and he's got lots of courage and real spirit. Well, I think fellas like that can be very much...
We got a poll from Maine last week. We're 87% up there on proving our record.
Yes.
You know, we got the damnedest record in the history in the Congress since the Republic started.
Well, I'm not surprised. It certainly is the most fantastic one I've ever seen. Nothing
that,
is lost.
That IDA thing, they beat it, but we made them come back and put it going again, $750 million. They beat our mass transit by 30 votes, and we came back and made them pass that. They had our farm bill beat. We made them pass that. Civil rights, we had to get cloture. We passed that. Tax bill, Harry Byrd had it locked up. Wouldn't even have a hearing on it. We passed that. Now, poverty was where they're really going to make their record. We passed that, so it looks like to me Halleck ought to resign.
Well, if I was a Republican, I sure would be calling for his resignation. They were talking about that over there, as a matter of fact, over the weekend.
Well, you ought to let some of them know it up there. And some of these folks that are giving me hell in these columns all the time, you ought to whisper to them that Halleck, that you heard it all over the place that they're going to ask him to resign. That'd be good for him right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
The only sad thing here was this business about Adam Yarmolinsky, of course.
Yeah, well...
And I wonder, have you had a chance to speak to him?
No, I haven't.
I think it would be terrific, Mr. President, if you could. He has a terrific respect for you, and the only thing he's ever said to me in the course of the whole business, his attitude has been just perfect, was that he was concerned about what you thought, and he was a little unhappy, you might say, that he hadn't heard anything from you.
Well, I was unhappy as hell for him giving out that interview, and I was unhappy at him being up in the radio gallery yesterday. I think that we've got to...
Giving out what interview?
Well, he had an interview long as a whore's dream in the Scripps-Howard papers of all places about what's going to happen in the Peace Corps. That I guess I had to talk to 30 congressmen about. And I think...
That was out there today?
No, this is 3 or 4 days ago. That's what all our fight's been about. We'd had this bill passed by 50 votes if he hadn't been giving out his interviews and they hadn't been circulating these letters on him.
Well, the letter he wrote, of course, was something he wrote some time ago, and I think he should have written that, Mr. President.
Well, I'm not talking about what he should have done. I'm just talking about what he did do and the hell that it causes. I told Bill Moyer, you can't have everybody in your shop giving out interviews. If they're going to do some talking over there, you do the talking for them. But don't have Yarmolinsky any more than we have some in my shop. Roosevelt told me one time that some of the very best men in government completely destroyed themselves and are no longer useful to me because they can't stay out of the paper. Now that's, I'll be glad to talk to him. I can't call every individual, you have no idea. I haven't even got a speaker yet. I have called Boggs and I have called Carl Albert. And I have talked to Walter Ruther, but God, if I had to do on every bill what I've done on this one, I never would have a moment. This is Sunday morning, and I'm just going down the list of them. I just hung up from Ruther. I placed his call with yours. But what I think ought to happen to Yarmolinsky is very simple as this. I don't think he ought to ever be in any front job for a good many reasons. But I won't enumerate them. I like him. I think he's smart. I'm for him. I'm for him in his place, just like I'm for my wife in her place. I don't want to put her out driving any tractor, and he's got no business being out giving out interviews or out in front.
Yeah.
I told Bob McNamara 2 or 3 months ago, he said he wanted to try to get the confidence of the Congress and have him have me talk to him a little, and he talked to him, try to get him confirmed as Assistant Secretary of Defense. I told him I'd try to do that. I'd be glad to help him after the election, trying to work it out. Now I understand that they think better for him to come in the White House. I want to keep as far away from that as I can, because everybody in the White House is a natural target, and they destroy him. They tried to destroy Bill Moyer and would have if he'd have spent one more day talking to the Mary McGrorys. You just can't talk to them without getting hurt. They're trying to do it to Jack Valenti now.
Yeah.
So what he ought to do is stay right where he is. Eddie Folliard is a good fella, and the Washington Post are good people, but the graveyard is full of folks that they have supported with their misguided, unintelligent direction.
Yeah.
And they brought it up in the big press meeting here yesterday, the worst thing could have happened to Yarmolinsky. And they said, now what about this fellow Yulbalski, Yamowizzi? And everybody got to laughing before Folliard could ever pronounce his name.
Yeah.
So he made a point. I'd say McCarthy couldn't have done a better job in destroying the guy before they got to the question, just screwing around with his name. Finally, he said to him, why are you making him leave the Peace Corps? I said, I haven't got anything to do with his Peace Corps. He's never been in the Peace Corps. He worked for the Defense Department. And he said, well, my editor told me, and I said, well, you tell your editor that Mr. Yarmolinsky's been working for the Defense Department several years. We borrowed a number of people from the departments, and he's now working for him and going to continue to work for him, period. That ended it.
Well, that's fine. I wouldn't have mentioned it, except I think that in the whole group of people, and I appreciate, obviously, you're calling me, and I know you've been deluged with calls about this bill, but of all the people that were involved...
Well, I'd say I made at least 40 calls that I wouldn't even let you and my wife know about, but it's reflected in that vote.
Well, I'm sure of that. That's why I said right at the beginning that I know this bill couldn't have gone through unless you'd taken the personal interest in it. The only reason I mentioned Adam, Mr. President, is that he's the only person out of all of us at this point who, you might say, suffered a little bit or suffered a great deal personally. And I know that your evaluation and impression of him means a hell of a lot to him, a lot more than most people. You know what I mean?
Well, he's a good boy and able boy, and I'm going to help him. But I think in all of us, the biggest weakness this administration's got is the youngsters won't get in the headline.
Well, that may be so, but I don't think that's true of Adam. He may have made a mistake in that. I didn't see that interview, but I will say that he's a terribly circumspect fellow and a guy of great loyalty. Bob McNamara will confirm this for you.
Oh, I don't need to have it confirmed. I know it. I've been working with him, Equal Employment Opportunities, for 3 years representing him over there. He's drafted lots of stuff for me. I'm for him drafting. I'm not for him talking. That's the difference.
Well, that's fine. Well, I just knew that he would, having a chance to hear something from you would be fantastic for him.
Well,
I'll guarantee you, he won't say anything anymore. I didn't even know he'd given that, to tell you the truth.
You just tell all your people there's going to be just one spokesman for the poverty program as of this date, and that's you.
Yeah.
And me. And just let the rest of them stay on their horses.
Good. All right, fine. Well, I'll see you on Monday then, I hope, because this fellow Mitchell and a couple of other people are important to the carrying this thing through.
Okay.
Okay, thank you so much.
I'll put it in.
Are you through?
All finished, thank you.
Thank you.